Good morning, everyone. So today we're continuing the book of Philemon, however you want to pronounce it. I even listened to it on YouTube. How do I pronounce this? And apparently Philemon is supposed to be right, but also Philemon's okay. So if I switch, forgive me. Sometimes you just have trouble with names in the Bible, I find. So the book of Philemon is basically, it's a letter. It's not, we see it as a book because that's the way it's presented in our Bible. But it's a letter from Paul, who was imprisoned in Rome, and he's writing to this church leader called Philemon. So it's a personal letter, but it's also a powerful letter. Last week, Colin, in covering the first half of this, focused on the aspect of slavery and how when we are in Christ Jesus, we're all equal, and went on to say how amazing and how beautiful it is to be part of this church, because we are all welcome and all equal in our belonging to Jesus Christ, despite the diversity of whether it's what we believe, the way we interpret the Bible, what our status is, just who we are. I hope that people feel welcomed in this church, and I, like Colin, just think it's wonderful that we can have such a breadth of people with maybe different theological takes in life, but that we can all look in the same direction, which is to the one cross of Jesus Christ. So on the whole, this letter is an account of a runaway slave, one who had done something wrong against his master and legged it to Rome, basically, where he encountered Paul. That in itself would be quite interesting to know how that happened, because there were thousands of people in Rome and Paul was in chains at the time. But anyway, maybe God had a plan. So he encountered Paul, and Paul led him to Christ by sharing the gospel with him, and now was sending him, Onesimus, back to Philemon as a true believer and servant for Christ. And just as a point that niggled me, it's not clear in this letter why Onesimus did what he did. Surely a well-treated slave wouldn't rebel in this way. Or was Onesimus just rebellious before he encountered Jesus through Paul? Now, at the time of this letter, slavery was perfectly normal, embedded in the culture. Your slaves were your possessions. They would have cost quite a bit to buy, and their lives were basically yours. Slaves were not always unwilling in their status, as some actually chose to become slaves in order to write off their own or their family's debt. But at this time, when a slave rebelled, as Onesimus did, he would be punished severely, which could range from a flogging to death. And Paul knew this, but what Paul's letter shows us is his supreme wisdom in how he chose to disciple Philemon about forgiveness towards a fellow believer. You see, he wasn't sending Onesimus the slave back, but he was sending a brother in Christ to Philemon as someone who would be of great help to him in serving the church that Philemon led. Jesus said in John 8, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Onesimus left Philemon as a runaway slave, but returned as a son of Paul, as well as a son of God. Because as we see in the actual letter of Philemon in verse 10, which was a little bit before the reading that Lynn gave us, it says, "I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Not meaning a son in terms of adoption, but someone that Paul led to Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 12, I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to have kept him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. So he considered Onesimus to be as useful in the gospel and as useful to the church as Philemon himself. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but voluntary. So he didn't want to walk all over Philemon, tell him what to do. But in this, Paul expresses his love for Onesimus, but also the respect in recognizing that Onesimus had indeed started out as a slave owned by Philemon. But Paul goes on to say, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. But I'm not the only one here who's experienced a bump or two in the road. The road of life isn't always plain sailing. But sometimes we can look back and we can see that God's been at work, or even that that bump had to happen to get us in a better place with God, even though it was so very hard at the time. And here we have Paul saying that if Onesimus hadn't done what he did and ran away, then Jesus would have been missing a vital person from his flock. Because as a believer, Onesimus was so much more valuable than any worldly slave could be. Paul is very wise in his letter, but gentle. Not gentle in how he counsels Philemon, as we see in the next passage, though, from his letter. So if, ouch, you consider me a partner, that's quite a strong statement. Welcome him as you would welcome me. So basically he's putting their friendship, their comradeship on the line. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. That's a stinger, but he goes on to counter by saying, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Paul is really saying that any worldly cost or loss to Philemon will be settled because it's meaningless in comparison to a saved soul that is now equipped to serve alongside Philemon for the good of Jesus. Paul then says, not to mention that you owe me your very self. Philemon is reminded that his own salvation, although won through Christ, was made known to him through Paul's own sharing of the gospel, pointing out again that worldly cost is nothing compared to the riches we receive in knowing Jesus as Lord. As he suggests in saying, I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Then he ends the paragraph with, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Paul could have said, and I kind of hear my father, the way that he would approach something, you know, look here, Philemon, you would be wrong to punish Onesimus because it would be wrong to treat another believer as your slave and as your property. So just get over yourself. But instead, he phrases it gently, saying, I'm confident that you will see what I'm saying. You will forget the past, forgive Onesimus and receive him as a new creation in Christ, someone who will be of much help for you in reaching the souls for the kingdom of heaven. I believe that this letter shows us how we should counsel and disciple one another, and that everyone needs discipling, no matter where you are and what your status is in terms of leadership in church or not. Basically, it's about our attitude and love for one another, but how important forgiveness is within our community of believers, because a house divided will fall. And like the unknown I mentioned at the beginning, we don't know why Onesimus rebelled, and it's possible that Philemon wasn't a good master. So sometimes we need to consider our own actions that have led to a place where you need to forgive someone, because it actually could have been our own behavior or attitudes in the first place that led to it. We need to be sure that our pride does not stop us from reflecting on our own part in any disagreement. Or maybe we should be humble and be asking for the forgiveness of others and be the bigger person. This is about following the teachings of Jesus practically in our everyday lives. Jesus said in John 13, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We can't love one another if we haven't forgiven them. We can't love one another if we criticize or blame one another. We can't love like Jesus told us to. He didn't ask us, he told us. So if we sit complaining about one another, loving one another doesn't do that. It means sorting out our differences in love with a pure attitude of heart, communicating when we have hurt one another or been hurt, seeking reconciliation, compromising on our differences, or accepting that we have different points of view on scripture and life in general. As Christians, part of this church community, we're not called to look at the church activity like some do when watching a football match, blaming the ref for seemingly getting a decision wrong because it went against our team, despairing at the striker or the goalie for missing or letting in a goal, and then when the game's lost, calling for the manager to be sacked. Yet all the time just being a spectator who couldn't do any better if we tried. We are all one body of believers, all called to serve in the different roles so that the body can be strong. Also, that we just need to worship together, as Dan had led us before. It's about being here for God. It's about being here to worship him, to do that together, and to do life together. Here are a few scriptures that speak into how, as a body of believers, we're called to live. In 1 Peter 2, it says, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God, honor the emperor." In 1 Peter 3, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble." And in 1 Peter 4, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So let's come into land with this letter and see what we've learned. Well, as Colin taught us last week, we're all equal in Christ Jesus. And as Paul showed us, we need to be wise and see the bigger picture of God's work in every situation, as far as we can, anyway. People can change from useless to useful. If you remember, Onesimus actually means useful. But in the passage, Paul recognized that as a slave, Onesimus was useless to Philemon. But once he was a new creation in Christ, he was more than useful. We need to encourage and allow new believers to be that new creation in Christ. As believers, loving one another so that we are known as true disciples. This is so important. We have a vision to grow a relevant Christ-like church that serves our community. And in my opinion, we can't serve our community if our own house is not in order, if our hearts are not right with one another or other believers outside this church community. Jesus commanded us to love one another. So maybe for some, the Holy Spirit might have nudged us about an attitude towards another believer or towards the church leadership here or elsewhere. We all carry hurts. And this is a good day to open those to God, to maybe allow him in, to help with the healing of those hurts. But I do want to reiterate what Colin said last week, that it's truly, truly humbling and fantastic to be part of this church community. I have known such love from you towards me and my family, and so much support that I could never thank you enough. But this is what this letter spoke to me about. It spoke to me about making sure that we are truly loving one another, that we truly are looking and are disciples of Jesus, that other people can see that. There are so many people who've come to this church and stayed because when they came in, they felt the love of God. And we want more people to experience that. So we need to be cohesive and loving one another so that we can reach our community, reach the lost, reach the Onesimuses, share the gospel and love them fiercely and love one another fiercely. The truth is, if we all truly knew one another, we wouldn't be that easy to love. I know I'm not. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do this. But if you've experienced hurt, or know you've stepped out of line, or maybe there's things about church leadership that have bothered you in the past, I suggest that as we go into prayer, you are simply honest before God. Ask him to heal your hearts from hurts, or maybe your attitude. Ask to see those people as Jesus sees them. We want to be an outward-focused church, but let's make sure we have a solid foundation of loving one another fiercely. And loving one another fiercely first, so that they will know that we are his disciples. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this church community. And I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would help us be honest with you. That where there are hurts, where we've been let down, because this church is a church of people, imperfect people, looking to worship you together. And so, of course, there will have been hurts, past, maybe even ongoing. So I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would crush and destroy any pride that exists, that you would heal the hearts of those hurting, that you would fill the gaps where people have let them down. But most of all, Lord, that we would remember that our salvation has been won and our prize is already in heaven. Help us to love one another fiercely, Lord, that we look different, that we look like a community that has something more because we have you. Help us in our everyday lives to be wise and calm, to not tread on people's feelings, but to love one another. And then, as we've loved one another fiercely, help us to love the unloved in the community. Help us to reach souls for you, Jesus Christ. Help us to be a kingdom-focused church community. Help us serve you in finding the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.